Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
What is up, everybody, and how's it going? I'm Alex Goldstick, and you are listening to the Spring Forward podcast. The Spring League is busy making preparations for a fall league that will take place under bubble conditions due to the ongoing coronavirus pandemic. For any players that are interested in applying, applications are still open and can be found on the front page of thespringleague.com. Since our last episode, NFL training camps have opened. Four former Spring League players are in camp right now. They are Aaron Adeoye with the Baltimore Ravens, Deshaun Amos with the Green Bay Packers, Darian Clark with the Chicago Bears, and Paul Butler, who just signed with the New England Patriots this week. Today's guest is the only one of those four who has yet to appear on the Spring Forward podcast, Darian Clark. As you'll learn in the interview, Clark, like Adeoye, is making the transition from D1 basketball to pro football and doing a pretty successful job at it. Without giving away too much more of the story, let's hear from Darian in this episode's interview. Darian Clark is a tight end currently in camp with the Chicago Bears. Darian is a former D1 college basketball player who attended the Spring League in 2019 as part of his transition from hooper to tight end. The former Charlotte, USC, and Grand Canyon University forward signed with the Bears in January and is with the team right now, where we're catching him after Saturday practice. Darian, welcome to the pod.
Thank you. Hey, thanks for having me.
So let's start off with high school. You have a pretty good resume for a basketball player. You went to Oak Hill Academy in Virginia, maybe the most prestigious basketball school in the country, boasting former players like Carmelo Anthony, Kevin Durant, Jerry Stackhouse, among many, many others. A decision like that means leaving home early, though. What's that ultra-competitive and elite environment like for a high school kid?
It was just like, I think just like one of the like earlier commitments I just made in my early career to like what I wanted to do. You know, I knew that it was something I always wanted to experience. And I knew I had to give up some things in order to achieve that, to make that happen. So it was just kind of a decision I actually had to make, like, overnight. Actually, I didn't have much time to kind of decide if I wanted to go or not, because it was kind of like a last-minute deal. But, like, I knew I loved playing basketball. I was having fun with it. And I just thought it was an opportunity that, not too many guys can say they went to play the Elk Hill Academy.
Right.
So I just felt like it was an opportunity I couldn't pass up. And I had no problem. Like, I was ready for that challenge. I'm a very competitive person, so, and I knew, like, we play the best teams around the country. I don't know, it's a commitment, but it's fun. Like, so it was one of my earlier tests. like kind of like prepared me for college.
Well, speaking of fun and winning is fun, in 2012 your Oak Hill team was ranked number one in the country and you finished the season with a 44-0 record and the national title. What do you remember about that season specifically?
My teammates, like the fun we had, and just competing every day. Just being around like players that like took the game as serious as you did. And that was as competitive as you were. You know, it's a lot of top players run from around the country. And it was, you know, and just playing. Like, it was just like we was doing what you love and, you know, just going to school. And you got, you know, to travel. So, like, you know, as a high schooler, you play on a national schedule as a high schooler. Like, it was pretty cool. So, it was just, I don't know. It was just my teammates because we did a lot of travel. We went to China. You know, we played, like, national schedule. We had tough games, like the battles, like, just the whole overall experience was really cool.
Yeah, and that's got to prepare you for your college career, which included three stops. Your freshman year at Charlotte, then 3 years at USC, Southern California, for, you know, not to offend those South Carolina people. you had to sit for a year due to transfer rules, and then you had a grad year at Grand Canyon University in Phoenix. So across four seasons at those three schools, you played in 110 games at the D1 level. Is there any one or two moments that stand out for you? What was the highlight of your college basketball career?
When we at Grand Canyon, when we beat New Mexico State at home and just playing in front of that crowd and just having a big game. And then at USC, when we beat Arizona in four overtimes at home when it was top 10 in the country.
Yeah, just big upset.
You know, just competing those type of games. But I love playing on the road, but like I have a lot of like real like fun memories of playing, you know, college ball, but I would definitely say those were at the top.
Now, before college, you were a basketball player, a baseball player, and a football player. You obviously chose one of those sports at the collegiate level. So while you aren't the first former D1 basketball player to make the leap to football, at what point did you begin to think that you'd like to take a shot at the gridiron?
After like my first year at USC, I really kind of started thinking about it. And then, you know, by the time another like year come go by at SC, and just going to the game and missing it and, you know, just being in the atmosphere. And then, you know, just watching the game and the course my college school was taking as far as basketball, I just became more interested in it over time. You know, once the opportunity kind of presented itself, I just took advantage of it.
USC's obviously a pretty big football school and, you know, with a really great football heritage. Were you around the football team a bunch when you were on campus there?
Yeah, I had a lot of homies on the football team, a lot of friends. Our school, I mean, everybody. You know, I would always, you know, watch the games and, you know, follow and everything. And you know, I did make a lot of friends that was on the football team. And then just been around some of the coaches, which eventually, you know, led me to when I was decided to start my football career. You know, those are the first people I went back to because of the relationships I had built before, you know, while I was on campus.
When you're making the leap from one sport to the other, how did you decide on a position? I read in high school you were a quarterback. Tight end is obviously the football position most associated with former basketball players. But there's also been some success stories on the D-line, most notably Julius Peppers, but also two-time Spring League player Aaron Adeoye, who's with the Ravens now. So what went through your mind when you picked tight end when you wanted to make this move?
Just the watching the position, like the type of players that don't play the tight position in the NFL now. I just saw, like, I feel like I could do a lot of those things once I put the time and work in. And just like from my quarterback background, I knew I could understand, I could learn the offense, and I could, you know, maybe have a little advantage once, you know, I get comfortable, you know, with my quarterback and, you know, history, like the make him carry over into the position. It just was ideal for me. I feel like that fit me the most, you know. That's just the way I saw it. And, you know, it's worked out for the most part.
Yeah, I'd say, and we'll definitely get to where you are now in the success part. But you finished your grad year at Grand Canyon in 2017. So in the year between graduation and the Spring League, you went back to USC for their 2018 Pro Day in football, and you got an invite to New York Jets minicamp. In your transition from basketball to football, where did the spring league fall in this process?
The 18, I did the 2000, the pro day, and then I went to the mini camp, and then the spring league came around. Opportunity, I think it started in late March. It went to April of 2019. So it was about 6 or 7 months after the it was about almost a year after each other.
And at the spring league, you were the tight end on the Austin Generals, which was, you know, a new team for the Austin area at that league in 2019. How did you find out about and then ultimately get accepted into the spring league?
I was working out with my guy, Brian Scott. He was a quarterback that went to the spring league the year before. And me and a group of us, we was working out in Torrance, California. And, you know, he just mentioned that I should try to go. You know, he connected me with the people. And I was able to contact my agent, who also had a relationship with one of the guys on the board of Spring League. And I was able to get, you know, an opportunity to go.
And yeah, Brian's been at the Spring League a couple times, and he found success signing in Canada, which, you know, unfortunately the CFL just canceled their season. But, you know, we will see where he lands and whether he can continue his career up there or if he's got an NFL shot. Your tight end coach at the Spring League was, let's say, the enthusiastic Glenn Smith. What did you take away from your time in Austin with him and being coached by someone with his pedigree?
It was really cool. Coach was, you know, I like Coach because he was himself. And, you know, he pushed us. And, you know, he coached us. And I can always respect that. I feel like, you know, I was able to learn some things while I was there. And, you know, it was cool. It was really cool. It was probably one of my first opportunities to kind of work with some coaches during my pro career. Everything else had kind of been like tryouts, but like this is the first time that I was able to drill some things and learn some fundamentals of the game that I probably had lacked from being away for a couple of years.
Coach Smith has a very wide vocabulary and a lot of good sayings. Are there any PG-rated ones you remember that stuck with you?
Yeah, I mean, I know you say some crazy stuff. Like, I can't remember that specifically, but I do just remember. Like, you never, you know, you kind of almost had to expect anything, you know. So, but, you know, he was cool. He was real funny, you know. He made it fun. He'd say some wild stuff.
I'll agree with you on that. At the Spring League in Game 1, you led the team in receiving. In Game 2, you hauled in a touchdown. Capping off 2 wins in 2 games for the Generals. Is there a highlight you remember from the Spring League, either during the game or in prep time for those games?
Kind of like that first catch. We was doing one-on-ones, like the second day. And that first, I did like an out and up. And that just kind of like helped me settle in and like kind of gave me a confidence that I needed. And then just the whole process. Like I said, the first game, that first catch, like, just, you know what I'm saying, playing football again. So, it was, like, the whole experience was pretty cool, but I do remember that was kind of cool. It was the first play of the game. I got the catch right away.
I mean, obviously, I'm not breaking any news here, but the big difference between basketball and football, right, is the contact. Had you experienced, you know, any kind of hitting since your basketball career ended? Had you taken any licks in Jets camp, or is the Spring League kind of the first time you got back into the contact nature of the game?
No, that was my first contact since high school. And I forgot, you know, your body has to adjust to get used to hit like that. So I do remember being very sore the first day, but, you know, I was able to ice and take care of myself, get my body back right. And, you know, after a couple of days, you know, I got in my groove. But, you know, I did take a couple. The first catch, actually, I took a shot at my ribs. I feel like that was like kind of testing me to see, you know, how did I really want it, because I got hit really hard in my ribs. But I was able to shake it off and just kind of keep going, you know. I know that comes with the game. I'm like, I expected it, and I trained for that. You know, that's what, you know, I take care of my body. You lift weights and you do the things you do to be prepared for that. So I felt pretty confident.
Well, you sound like a football guy. I think that was definitely the right answer to that question.
Yeah.
Did you have any feeling when you left the Spring League in 2019 that you had made some noise in NFL circles?
Yeah. I thought I would, you know, at least like get some eyes on me, or maybe an opportunity or a trial or something. But I was just more happy with just like being able to make the progress I made. It kind of gave me, idea where I was at, what I need to work on. And just kind of, it was a learning experience for me. So I think that was the most important thing I took from it. And now I was able, you know, I was able to get some attention off to Spring League also from a couple of pro teams, but nothing really panned out. But it gave me a chance to kind of put my name out there and put it some tape. I mean, I think that's the biggest thing, is me being able to get things on tape. So it was, that definitely was good for me.
Take me through the moment in January, right after New Year's, when you got a call from the Bears and signed your contract with them.
It's cool. Like, probably one of the, like, coolest moment of my life. Just from the, like, making the transition to finally getting the opportunity. It was very, you know, everything was just, it was surreal. I don't know. It's hard to explain. It took a while for it to hit me. And sometimes I feel like it still has hit me, but it's definitely a cool moment.
Is it like a movie where you see a Chicago area code come up and you're like, what's this? Or did you kind of have a clue?
Yeah, it's exactly what it, like, you know, that's what it was, especially, you know, Chicago, Illinois, seeing that number pop up and just, you know, knowing, you know what I'm saying, that, you know, whatever it is, that's my team. Like, that's a team that, you know, that's giving me an opportunity. Like, I knew I had a camp I could go to. I was just thankful, you know, for the opportunity. So, yeah, it definitely was kind of crazy. And then, you know, just getting things together once we started meetings. It was just really cool. So it's still kind of surreal. And I'm just, you know, taking it day by day, but it's definitely cool.
For sure. And, you know, about two and a half months after you signed, COVID hit, right? And everyone's affected. Everyone in the world is being affected by that in some way. So all off-season football activities and programs in the NFL were shut down pretty soon after that. Where were you during quarantine, and how did you stay in shape from March until August when minicamp finally was given the green light to open?
I was back home in Georgia with my family, and then I went back out to Los Angeles, maybe about a month into COVID, and I spent most of my time out there. And I was out there pretty much up until Bears camp. I had a group of guys like Brian and a couple of other guys that I know out there that was working out, and we was able to get together and work out, and I was able to manufacture, you know, different weight rooms that became available. So it was a little work, but I was able to just find ways. And this has been California. You have a lot of areas you can go, you know, run hills or, you know, whatever it may be. So as long as I had some weight somewhere, I was pretty much in a good position out there. So and I mean, there was nothing else to do, so pretty much all I did was train.
Was there any off-season contact allowed from the Bears, or did you, you know, were you given anything to get a head start on camp?
Well, yeah, we had the meetings on Zoom. We had Zoom meetings all off-season, starting to understand the playbook. But that's that's about it up until camp. Everything was pretty much over Zoom. So, I mean, you know, I was able to, you know, start to learn the playbook and work on things on my own, but we didn't have any virtual workouts or anything like that.
Now, like we mentioned earlier, you were with the Jets in 2018, so this is your second taste of the NFL life. How does this one compare just in terms of having to go through it during COVID and, you know, what's being done differently on and off the field now that you are back at the facility, you know, because of the times?
Well, the Jets training camp, it was just for a couple of days. And just like now, I know that, you know, I'm on the team, you know, I'm on the roster and I'm competing for a spot, you know, on the roster. So it was definitely, you know, both was very, like, very big opportunities for me. But this time I just think I was just a little bit more comfortable, although I still wasn't comfortable if I wanted to be when I first got here. But, you know, just being able to have that experience before just helped me out just like every other step of the way.
Yeah, I mean, before you guys put on helmets and pads, we posted a picture or two of you on the Spring League social media accounts, and you seem to have this signature bucket hat and mask look going. Did you have fun with the, you know, sort of picking through the merchandise available to you on the NFL level and masking up on the field?
Yeah, no, that's pretty cool. Yeah, that's one of the cool things too. They they make sure we take care of us with masks. And, I like that bucket hat. You know, I just kind of found my look with that. They give us the Gators mask. That's also pretty cool.
That's the look. That's how you create a brand. You gotta, you know, stick with one look, and the bucket hat should be yours for sure.
Yeah. And the bucket hat, like, keep me, like, shade, you know, it's pretty, you know, keep me a little cool. So, yeah, and I like the look. I think it's pretty cool. So, like, my teammates be talking about me sometimes, but it's cool.
Well, that, hey, any publicity is good publicity is what they say.
Exactly.
So you're in your third year of this football quest, this pro football quest. How do you feel about where you are football-wise compared to the other tight ends in camp, right? Those are the people you're comparing yourself to every day.
Just the experience, just kind of like understanding, and just the reps, you know, like these guys have been playing and they've been doing this every day, you know, and I haven't really had the reps, live reps and stuff like that. So I just think a bit just for me, just experience, just getting those reps and being in practice and being on a team and, you know, being around those guys and just learning as much as I can each and every day.
Now, I'm not going to ask you to comment on your favorite quarterback or anything like that, but the Bears probably have the most open and public quarterback competition in the league right now. Has that been noticeable at camp? Does every play feel even more high stakes just because those signal callers, Foles and Trubisky, are in a very clear competition with one another?
No, I mean, it's just guys out there competing just like every other position. You know, we all out there having fun, competing every day, trying to get better. You know, it's my first NFL camp, so like I won't have another intensity to compare it to, but I can say like we out there competing and we all having fun, just trying to get better every day.
What are some important dates for you coming up as we get closer and closer to week 1? And, you know, what have you seen the Bears do to give street free agents like yourself the best chance to be evaluated and make the team without an NFL preseason?
Well, we started practices last week. So we actually had our first live scrimmage today. But on Thursday, I injured my shoulder again. So I haven't practiced in the last 2 or 3 days. I was placed on IR yesterday. So they've been practices in like scrimmage periods and practice.
Right. And how does IR affect you? Are you eligible to return? Or are you out for the season?
Oh, no, I'll be out for the season. I got to have surgery on my right shoulder. So, yeah, I'll be out for the season and just rehabbing and working to get back healthy for next year.
Gotcha. Well, we wish you the best of luck. We hope you can regain your health because, you know, this football story for you was very much trending in the right direction. And I think I speak for everyone at the Spring League when I say, you know, we're all rooting for you.
No, I definitely appreciate it.
All right. Well, thanks for joining the pod. That's all I got. And, you know, stay healthy or, you know, quick recovery.
All right. Thank you.
All right. That will do it for today's episode. We certainly wish the best of luck with his upcoming shoulder surgery and the fastest of recoveries to Darian. The experience of being in an NFL camp is irreplaceable, and we're hopeful that the Bears will stick with him. You can follow the Spring League on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at the Spring League. You can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Alex Goldstick. All music was provided to the Spring Forward podcast by Joshua Rosner. Stay safe out there. Later.